Amen. Man, turn to somebody this morning and say, you sure look good today. Faith and Latoya, you girls look good back there today. I love you. What a blessing. Amen. You all look good today. Why don't you stand and turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 30. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. I just want to continue talking about restoration. I just couldn't get over this, get past this week. I was just praying about what to share with you guys. And, you know, we just serve a God of restoration. Jesus restored sight to the blind. Jesus healed. Amen. Jesus delivered. Jesus restored life to the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus is in the restoration business. Grace is Jesus' vehicle of restoration. Grace comes into our life and restores us. Some of you have been restored and are being restored. And it is such a beautiful thing. I watch your lives and I've seen your lives. And, you know, Bobby, I think of you and how God's restored in your life and Dutch and the things God's done there. And it's just a beautiful thing. And to watch you guys and see God restoring things in your life. God is a God of restoration. Jeremiah, this is a great verse, Jeremiah 30, 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Let's hold up our Bible this morning and let's say it like we mean it. God, you are so good this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same, in Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five this morning and say, God is in the restoration business. Hallelujah. I love this scripture. It's a great scripture there because he says he heals us, he restores our health. God has got divine health for you this morning. God has got divine health for you this morning. God does not desire for you to be at dis-ease. No dis-ease in your body today. Amen? None. Zero. No dis-ease. God's got health for you and healing for you. He says he heals our wounds, and that's not only an ongoing chronic thing, because you might be suffering from that, but I believe he heals the wounds of our heart. God is a restorer of broken hearts. You know, you might have gone through divorce, you might have gone through heartache, you may have gone through loss, but I want to tell you, God restores, and when God restores, he always restores so good. Always good, Liz. Liz and Chris are kind of in that restoration business. You know, they go out and find these old houses that they look ugly, and you know, and then wow, they put their hands on it and it's restored and it's so beautiful. And you guys do an amazing job. And you know, I love to see something restored, don't you? I mean, I find great joy in seeing things that are restored. But you know, God, when he restores it, he restores it so well. I remember years ago, I was a young man, and of course, I was a believer, and I went over to some older people's house, and I was visiting with them a little bit, and I'm a coffee drinker. Do we have any coffee drinkers in here? So you're addicted to caffeine like me, right? So I went over to the house, and the lady knew I enjoyed coffee, and she was such a wonderful person, and so, and she had, I like my coffee hot. You know, now I can drink iced coffee, but I really like a good cup of hot coffee. Anybody agree with me there? You know, just really piping hot. And she poured me this coffee, and it was so hot. You ever had coffee so hot you take a sip and you just really couldn't drink it? Anybody been there and done that? You know? So I was sitting down in the chair, and so I grabbed this cup of hot coffee, and okay, and I brought it over here, and I was just sitting there with it, you know, waiting for it to cool off. And all of a sudden, the handle let go, and that steaming hot coffee was in my lap. And you ever see a preacher jump? I jumped. I still had the handle in my hand. And I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus, right? You know, I didn't cuss, hallelujah. Man, I was praying for healing right then, I want to tell you right now. So thank you, Lord. And this lady, she was so embarrassed, you know, and I'm not only jumping, I am dancing. I am dancing around her kitchen. And she said, oh, I am so sorry. She said, I forgot I glued that handle because the handle broke off and I glued it back. And that was so hot, it melted that glue. And I thought, well, that wasn't a very good job of restoration. Amen. We know when God fixes things, they don't break. They don't break. Amen. And he's so good at it. God is so good at bringing relationships and restoring relationships in our life. He is good because, you know, our soul has those emotions, and our soul can get very damaged at times. We can be damaged in our soulish realm with just words. People can say words. You know, the old stone, sticking stones will never hurt me. What is that? What was it? Might break ground bones, but what? Words will never what? That's a lie. That's a lie, because words are powerful. You know, we are speaking spirit, and words are powerful. And you can speak words to somebody, and you can cut them to the core. And you can really bring damage with words. But I want to tell you, God is the healer of your soul. He is the healer and restorer of your emotions, of your heart. You know, couples, I want to encourage you to speak kind words to one another. Amen. Do kind things one for another. You know, I don't know about you, but I find it joy to do things that are nice for my wife. I really enjoy, and she enjoys it, right? Amen. So, I really enjoy doing that, but I want to just challenge you to speak kindness over your mate. Speak words of grace over them. Give them grace, especially if you've been married a few years. You really need grace at times. Come on, somebody. Amen. You need grace operating in your home and grace operating in your life, but do kind things for one another. Amen. Speak grace. And if you're a single person, you know, let that grace just flow out of your life. Grace. Restoration takes place by grace operating in our life. And Jeremiah said, God is the healer of wounds. Amen. God wants to bring healing to you, so you're a whole person this morning in Jesus Christ. Your identity is not found in yourself. Your identity is found in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Restoration is one of the most powerful things, and hearing God's word is one of the ways that we are restored and resting in him. When we hear the word of God brings grace and restoration to our life, and we are restored in him. Restoration is God's will, but you got to believe it. Amen. Some of you have been ripped off, but God says, I want to restore to you. Amen. God wants to restore to you. Even David acknowledged you have to believe in order to see the goodness of God. Psalm 27:13. Look at it. Psalm 27:13. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 27:13. I would have lost heart. I would have given up. Holly talked about that this morning. I would have lost heart. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. Unless I'd what? Unless I had believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, you got to start believing in the goodness of God. Restoration comes when we believe in God's goodness to us, that he's a good God, that God's got good for me. Amen? That God's best is in store for me. God's got the wonderful blessings and favor on my life. You've got to believe it, because if you look in this world, sometimes you can get very discouraged. You can get very depressed if you let yourself be, right? So we've got to keep in mind that God is on our side. Turn to somebody and say, God's on my side. God is on my side. Wow. Look at Romans. Let's look at Romans 8:31. Let's just go there a few minutes. Romans 8:31. I'll give you some good news this morning on restoration. Amen. What shall we say to these things? If God is what? Who can be against you? No one. Look what he says. Go on, next verse. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him so freely give us some things? A few things. All things. He gave his son in exchange so we can have all things. Jesus became poor so that we might become rich in all things. God wants to freely give us all things that provided for us through the cross. Hallelujah. Freely give us. No strings attached. I love that. There's people that have strings attached to their gifts, you know. God is a no strings attached God. When God gives to you, he gives it to you freely with no strings attached. That is some good news right there. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, right? Amen. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God and making intercession for us. God has got you on his heart and mind today. He's praying for you. I love to hear people say, you know, I'm praying for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But you know what? Jesus is praying for me. Isn't that awesome? Making intercession for us. Go on down. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? Wow. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But look at this. Yet in all these things, we are how are we more than conquerors? Through him that what? Loved us. You got to know this. God is a God of restoration. Go on down. Is that it? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, no matter what you're going through right now, nor even things to come. Look at this. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is restoring. Turn to somebody this morning and say, God is restoring. He is a restoring God. Look over at Joel 2:21. Joel 2:21. We looked at this last week. I want to go back. Joel 2:21 through 26. Fear not. Turn to somebody and say, fear not. You know, fear is the greatest attack that you can receive in your life. Fear will keep you paralyzed. It'll keep you from receiving everything that God has for you. And you know, people for some reason want to live under a spirit of fear. God has not given you that spirit. That is not from God. You need to get rid of that thing out of your life. You need to start speaking against fear in your life. God has given you a love, power, and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. Come on, somebody. Fear is not part of you. Amen. Don't walk in fear will stop restoration from coming into your life. You need to get rid of that spirit of fear. Fear of man. Don't have a fear of man. Amen. Have an awe for God, but not a fear of man. Somebody needed that word this morning. I don't know who it was, but fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done what? Marvelous things. Man, I love this perspective. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid. There he says again, do not be afraid, you beast of the field, for open pastures and springing up, and the trees bear its fruit, the fig tree and a vine yield their strength. Hallelujah. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. What is he saying there? He's bringing the former rain and the latter rain. The latter rain was a rain before the harvest. But what he said he's going to do is he's not waiting months for the latter rain. He's doing it in the same month. What God is saying is I'm doing something quickly. The restoration that I'm bringing to you is a quick restoration. Amen. I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give you and restore to you the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're going to see things start happening in your life, and a turnaround is coming. Praise God. Amen. Restoration is coming in your life. Amen and amen. And he's going to do it quickly. Quickly. You don't have to wait another year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. God says quickly, amen. Hallelujah. And in the first month, Be glad, rejoice. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Bread, wine, oil. The communion meal. Bread, wine, oil, the anointing. God says, I'm bringing this to you. It's through that communion meal we receive restoration. When we look to the cross, there's always restoration in our lives. You know why so many people aren't healed? Because they focus on their healing more than the healer. They're focused on trying to get healed more than the relationship with Jesus the healer. When people start focusing on Jesus the healer, hallelujah, and still trying to get the healed, they're going to receive healing automatically because their focus is no longer on themselves, but their focus is on the one who provided the healing through the cross of Jesus Christ. People focus more on their faith than his faith. It's not your faith, it's his faith in you. And it's his faith in you that brings the results. But when we start spending time and focusing on Jesus more than ourselves, we're going to receive the, hallelujah, we're going to receive the results of our focus. Oh, Jesus. Remember Abraham? I go here a second. Remember Abraham? God told Abraham, you're going to have a son, right? And then God told Abraham, he said, go out and count the stars. You ever tried to count the stars? Hello? You ever tried? How many is there? Go look at the, look. You know why he did that? To get the focus off of him, Abraham, and to get the focus on God. He said, so shall your seed be to Abraham. He was getting the focus off of him and getting the focus re-back on God. Guys, I'm telling you, Holly put it together this morning when she said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. When your focus is on him, your place becomes rest. This is real good. Man, you guys are so quiet. I know you're just soaking that in. Because I want to tell you, God's got healing for you, but get the focus off of your healing and get the focus on the healer. Amen. Turn to somebody and say amen to that. Hallelujah. All right, let's go out. Overflow with new wine. Overflow. Everybody say overflow. We serve a God of overflow. So I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, and all those locusts, right? My great army which I sent among you, I will restore. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. No more ripping off here. Turn to somebody and say, no more ripping off here. Amen. And praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never, ever be put to shame. We can rejoice and be glad even when it seems like nothing is going right in our life, because we know God is our sustainer. God is our sustainer. Hallelujah. We don't lack in any place in our life. We are living in the land of Goshen and not in Egypt. In the land of Egypt, there was always lack. In the land of Goshen, there's always plenty to go around. Hallelujah. God is a restorer of our life. Look at Psalm 51 and verse 12. Psalm 51 and verse 12. Look what David said out of this wonderful psalm. He said, restore to me what? The joy of your salvation. Holly talked about salvation, all those things that are included in that wonderful word, and uphold me with your generous spirit. David said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. We should never be hopeless. We should always be hopeful because we serve a God of restoration. Always be hopeful. I was mentioning about some people saying they're wanting to quit, and the reason that people want to quit is because they've lost their focus. They've lost their joy. It's really impossible to lose your joy, because your joy is always in your spirit. It's always there. But they've just lost their focus. And when your focus goes out, that sense of joy goes out. And they're living on happenstance instead of joyful stance. Happenstance makes you happy for a while if things are going right. Joyful stance makes you happy through eternity because you know who your joy is. Amen. Don't be living off your happenstance. Live off the joyful stance that we have in Jesus. Amen. Joy, amen, is part of that fruit of the Spirit that is within us. Amen. Hallelujah. So they have allowed the enemy to rip them off and steal their focus. But God says, I want to restore to you your focus and put it back on me. Look at Nehemiah 8 and 10. Nehemiah 8 and 10. Wow. Nehemiah 8 and 10. Praise God. Love Nehemiah. Great, great book of restoration. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send the portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy, gladness, and restoration all go together. Amen. When something comes back to you restored, except for that coffee cup, hopefully you have joy about it. Wow, thank you. How many's ever had your car repaired? You ever been in an accident and you had to wait 2 weeks to get your car? Anybody ever been there? Hello? And then finally your car, it was all crumpled up and your car comes back and it looks new and it's so nice, man. They did a great, and you're so excited, you got joy, got my ride back. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to my Jesus music, driving with my top down. Amen. Joy is powerful. That's a song, by the way, if you didn't know that. Joy is powerful. It's like dynamite. Amen. As Christians, you got to find that joy to live on. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. We find that joy to live by. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the book of Habakkuk this morning. I'm going to take you through some word. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk is a really interesting book. I did a study on this many years ago. It's a great book because Habakkuk at that time, his outlook was very depressive. In fact, if you start reading in chapter 1, you'll see the things that are going on in the country. And on every side, it seemed like the enemy was gathering forces and the economy was bad and everything was bad. Everything was against him, it seemed like. But you know what? Habakkuk had a different outlook because he got to the point in the book of Habakkuk, he said, the just shall live by faith. And the reason what happens is we get our focus off of the Lord at times and we're no longer living by faith. We're living out of the carnality of our mind instead of the mind of Jesus. But here's Habakkuk, all this stuff going on. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Oh, Habakkuk means to cling, by the way. He was clinging to the promises of God. Turn to somebody and say, be a clinger. That's what Kay was when she was a little girl. She was a clinger because everywhere Holly went, I think she was just attached to Holly's hip. I mean, and she would come down. I'd still see her coming down saying, hold you, Daddy. Hold you, Daddy. Elise? Nah, she was not a clinger. It's like, put me down, let me go. Put me down, let me go. Kay, I mean, it's just like, she just held on to you, gave you the best hugs. You know, it's just, yeah, amen. We still do, amen. Praise God. And but everywhere, you know, Hollywood, Kay was right there beside her. You know, it's just like that. Elise, just let me go, let me go. Now, Elise has kind of turned around now. You know, so it's kind of cool to watch your kids do that, right? So then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink. Where are we at? That's Nehemiah. Let's go to Habakkuk. Can you find that, guys? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 17. Let's go on. Oh, you're good, brother. You're really good. Listen to what he said. Though the fig tree may not blossom. Wow. The fig tree doesn't blossom. It means you're not getting any fruit, right? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, listen to his response, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. And when you do that, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me to walk on high places, high hills, to the chief musician who with my stringed instruments. What a song. Hallelujah. He is my strength. He is my joy. And when your perspective changes, all of a sudden from being down here, you're up here, and restoration comes back into your life. Happiness is based on that comfort. Joy is based on eternal things. You got to make a conscious decision to rejoice even when it seems like things aren't going your way. You got to make a conscious decision to rejoice even when it seems like things are going your way. Proverbs 6:30-31. Look at this promise. Proverbs 6:30-31. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all getting some out this morning? Good stuff. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Proverbs, great book, right? See, people don't despise a thief if he's starving and he steals to feed himself. They don't despise him. Yet, when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Wow. 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 Do y'all see that? Who is the thief? Satan is the thief. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Bible says when he's caught, right? He must restore how many? Sevenfold. Let me tell you, he's been caught. Jesus caught him, amen, at the cross and defeated him in the resurrection. So therefore, we have a sevenfold promise of restoration coming back into our lives. What he stole from us, Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and to give it to you how? More abundantly. Hallelujah. What he's stolen is coming back sevenfold because he's been caught. Anybody believe that this morning? Man, I believe that today. Sevenfold return. Look at Isaiah 61:7. Isaiah 61:7. Hallelujah. This is powerful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Turn to somebody and say, double for your trouble. Double for your trouble instead of shame. Because what happens many times when things go in our life, shame comes out. But God says, I am the healer of shame, and I want to give you double for your trouble. Hallelujah. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Why is rejoicing so important in restoration? Because he said, by faith, we rejoice in what we may not see yet, but we know we already possess it. Through grace. Amen. Hallelujah. God will recompense anyone who is ashamed. Right? God will recompense that. People will feel guilty about something. Just admit, hey, Lord, thank you. God, I am healed completely, and there's no condemnation in my life. None at all. Praise God. I walk free of shame. Hallelujah. And God provides full restoration. Everybody say full. Full restoration. Acts 3:19-21. We're going to get ready to close. Acts 3:19-21. Look what God says here. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You know what repenting is? Repenting is just changing your mind. Getting your focus off of this way and putting your focus this way. And he says, when our focus changes, he said the refreshing of the Lord is coming our way. Turn to somebody and say, you just need to change your focus. You've been focusing on the wrong thing. Put your focus back on Jesus. When Peter put his focus on Jesus, he walked on the water. When he took his focus off Jesus, he began to sink. And even then, Jesus saved him with a short prayer. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus plucked him back up. Jesus is that good, man. Next verse. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of what? Restoration of all things. Health, prosperity, amen? All things, peace, joy, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. God is restoring all things. Amen. When we change our focus from feeling we need to be in God's presence to just knowing he's already with us. Come on, somebody. Well, if I can just get his presence. His presence is already in you. Just start rejoicing. God, you're with me wherever I go. Amen. We change our focus. Hallelujah. You know, I used to think I had to work to get in God's presence. Well, they got to sing that song just right. Amen. I used to have people come and say, you know, we're going to pray for you for the anointing. Well, if I don't have the anointing now, you're in trouble, right? God, you got to start getting out of that religious stuff and realize that Jesus is with you always. Amen. His presence is right. He never leaves you. He is right there with you. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. No, but he does and he still loves you. What's that called? That's called grace. When you blow it, God still loves you. Grace empowers you so you won't have to blow it. Amen. But if you do blow it, God still loves you. Let me tell you something else. You're still righteous. The enemy wants to attack that because that's the power over him, is the righteous standing we have in Jesus Christ. So when you fail, God didn't see you as a failure. Thank you for your enthusiasm there, church. Hallelujah. Maybe I'm the only one that struggles there. Amen. When you fail, God doesn't see you as a failure. Why is that? Because he sees Jesus in you. Jesus lives big in you. You are righteous in Jesus Christ. In your spirit, you are perfect. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus. Oh, but you don't know what I did. No. See, your focus is on you again. You don't know what I did. Get your focus off of you and get your focus on him. He has already forgiven you of every sin. Whoa. Man, what is that? That's too good to be true. No, it's the too good to be, almost too good to be true good news. Look what Paul said in his testimony, 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. Wow. Hallelujah. What did Paul say? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The only good fight I know is the one that you win. So Paul said, I fought the winning fight. I fought the good fight. We're fighting the good fight this morning. It's a winning fight. Hallelujah. We're fighting to enter that rest. That's the only fight we have, just entering that rest in our hearts and minds, right? Jeremiah 33, 9 through 11. I've got 30 more scriptures, but I'm going to give you just a couple more. Jeremiah 33, 9 through 11. Get that word in you guys, that word to build you up. Amen. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provided for it. That should make you rejoice right there. Start being joyful over your prosperity. Start being joyful over your situation. Say, thank you, Lord, you delivered me. Hallelujah. I am set free. Praise God. I'm going to rejoice. And when you start rejoicing, restoration comes your way. It's an act of faith. Oh, I don't see it. It doesn't matter. You don't see it by faith. You see it in faith. Hello? Amen. Psalm 107, verse 2. Psalm 107, verse 2. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm sorry. Nehemiah 5, 6, 12. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to go there. Nehemiah 5, 6, 12. Just want to go there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of them, you are exacting usury from your brother. So I called a great assembly against them. And I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who are sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, what are you doing? What you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. Nehemiah was rebuking them. Look what he said. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses. Also a hundredth of the money of grain, the new wine and the oil that you have charged them. He said, restore to them. So they said, we will restore it and will require nothing from them. Turn to somebody and say, that's grace. We will restore it and require nothing from them. Hallelujah. Amen. We will do as you say. Then I called the priest and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Amen. According to this promise. He said, we're going to restore to you. Nehemiah declared restoration, which is something Christians need to start declaring. Start declaring your restoration. Start declaring it is coming back to me. Amen. It's coming back to me better than it was before. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So you start declaring over your life restoration. It's coming back. Hallelujah. Double for my trouble. It's coming back to me. Amen. The enemy is not going to rip me off any longer. Hallelujah. It is coming back. Stand this morning. Praise God. Let's give him some praise today. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Wow. Amen. Raise your hands today. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on up this morning if you would. Praise the Lord. God's got restoration for you. Turn to somebody and say, God's got restoration for you. Amen. Say, it's coming back your way today. Say, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. We're not looking at those things that are. Amen. But those things that God has for us. They're good. Raise your hands with me this morning and say, thank you, Lord. Restoration of all things is coming back, coming to me through grace provided by faith. I receive it today. I receive it today. My health is being restored. Healing is mine. Healing is mine. Chronic conditions are being healed. Thank you, Lord. Healing is mine. The wounds of my heart are being bound up today. Oil and wine are being poured in today. I receive the healing of the Lord in my soul. My soul is being restored. He restoreth my soul. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He is restoring my mind today. I have a sound mind, full of goodness, full of good thoughts, not evil thoughts, good thoughts, that He loves me today. He loves my family today. He has good for me today. My mind is being healed. I am not losing my mind. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody needs to let that sink in right there. Amen. Some of you have had some thoughts and you're thinking, where is that coming from? God says, I'm restoring your thoughts. You've got a sound mind going on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is restoring my finances. My finances are God's finances. Thank you, Lord. You restore unto me. You make me prosperous, Lord. You make me a blessing. Lord, I am blessed to be a blessing. My focus is not on money. My focus is on you. God, and I thank you that money, Lord, you give me, I use for your glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, you need somebody to agree with you, you've got some things going on in your heart and your life, I just invite you forward today. They want to agree with you, and I believe God's got an answer for you today. Don't leave this place. If God is just speaking to your heart, come forward and receive this morning. Amen, because you are loved today. Praise God. If you'll come forward, amen. If not, just turn around and give somebody a high five and say, you are really loved today. Amen. But if you need prayer, come forward. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.